Well, we were thinking earlier in the service with the children about running marathons. I have a friend who runs ultra marathons. And if a marathon is a grueling experience, then an ultra marathon is a really unimaginable test of endurance. This particular friend often runs 24-hour races. The mileage in these races is often in excess of 100 miles, non-stop running. And this friend was telling me recently about a race that he had run around Strangford Loch. It began in Portaferry and it finished in Strangford, just a mere 56 miles, a very short race by this man's standards. And in the course of the race, after about 30 miles, something happened to him that incredibly had never happened to him before in all the years that he had been doing these ultra long distance runs. He hit the wall. You're familiar with that phrase, I imagine, with marathon runners. Suddenly, out of the blue, he had been feeling absolutely fine, but suddenly, out of the blue, he began to feel dizzy and very, very weak. His legs were like jelly, and he started staggering all over the road as if he were drunk. He managed to make it to the next marshal's post, where he was able to sit down in the car for a while, and most importantly, he was able to get some food. Now, the food consisted of a small bag of jelly beans. But almost instantly, on eating the jelly beans, he began to revive. He felt the energy flood through his whole body. And after a little bit more rest, he was in the car altogether for about half an hour or so, he was able to get up and to continue the race and to run the last 26 miles of the race. He felt like giving up. He was almost certain that he couldn't possibly continue. And then at just the right time, when he most needed it, he got what he needed to give him the energy to keep on going. Well, the Christian life is like an ultra marathon. It's not a 100 meters sprint. It's not a 10K run. It's not even a 26-mile marathon. It is a long-distance race. Not a 24-hour race, even, but a lifelong race. And if you're a Christian this morning, then you're running that race. And you've just passed another milestone along the route, a milestone that reads 2018. Maybe you've been running the race since 2000, or 1980, or 1960, or maybe you've been running the race even longer than that. And it's invigorating, isn't it? It is joyful. How many athletes testify to that, even these weird ultra-marathon athletes? They say that they only really feel properly alive when they're doing the sport that they love. And that is certainly true, isn't it, of the Christian life. Jesus gives us life and life to the full. But there are times, quite a few times, when the Christian life is really grueling and tough. And maybe some of you felt like that in 2017. Maybe that's in store for some of us in 2018. Many of you have endured really tough circumstances in recent months. And there are things in your lives right now, this morning, that are seriously testing your endurance. And maybe spiritually you feel like you've hit the wall, or you're about to hit the wall, and that every last ounce of energy is spent, and that really you have nothing left in the tank. And so I want to look with you this morning at a number of practical helps that God has given us in His Word to help us to keep going, to help us to persevere in the year ahead. It's the spiritual equivalent of a bag of jelly beans and a glucose energy gel drink. And as we reflect on these things, and as we believe these things, as we put these things into practice, we'll fill our bodies, we'll feel our bodies flooding with spiritual energy and strength. We need all the help that we can possibly get our hands on, don't we, to keep on keeping on in the Christian life. And our Heavenly Father knows that. He remembers that we're just dust. And so He fills His Word with all kinds of encouragements to keep us running, to keep us going right to the end in the Christian race. And time permitting, we'll look this morning at just three things in God's Word. Here's the first thing that we need to do. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And these are the verses that we read right at the beginning of our service this morning. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. They're on page 1212 of the Church Bible. And let's read these three verses together. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The writer tells us here that God has provided us with many, many great examples of perseverance. He talks, in fact, about a great cloud of witnesses. And we need to remember that Hebrews 12, verse 1, comes after that great catalogue of heroes of the faith in chapter 11. And so the thrust of chapter 12, verse 1 is, since we are surrounded by so many other saints who have persevered, who have made it to the end, let us in turn run the same course that they ran with the same perseverance. The picture is of a great athletic stadium. And you and I are down there on the track, slogging our guts out in running the Christian race, and we're finding it hard going, and we're on the point of quitting. That was certainly the case for the people that this letter was originally written to. And then we look up, and the stands all around the track in the stadium are crammed with spectators who are urging us on, and they're saying, don't give up, keep going, you can do it. And we think to ourselves, down on the track, as our lungs are about to burst and our heart is pounding, the sweat is blinding our eyes, we think to ourselves, well, it's easy for them to say, sitting up there in comfort on the stands. How do they know what it's like? Well, how do they know what it's like? It's because they've done it themselves. They've run the race. They have been where we are, and they have finished the race. That's why they're called witnesses. They're bearing witness to the fact that the race can be finished. It is possible. Well, maybe you're tempted to think, it's much harder for me than it was for them. It's all very well for them to talk about finishing the race. It was fine for them to finish the race. It was easy for them to finish the race. They don't know what it's like for me down here. They didn't have to face the trials that I have to face. Really? Well, just look in chapter 11 at what we're told about some of these witnesses in the stands. Just look at verse 35 to 38. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. In other words, here are people who have persevered through the kinds of ordeals that you and I have nightmares about. And they're saying to us here in chapter 12, verse 1, we know how hard it can be to keep on running. We have been there. We know how hard it is to keep on trusting, to keep on believing. But by God's grace, we did it. And you can do it too. They are the proof that it can be done. Not because they're great, not because they're special, but because God is great and is upholding them. And he's upholding us as well. So there's this cloud of witnesses, but the best example of all, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself. And that's where the writer directs our attention to in verse 2. Looking to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If you need to be spurred on, if you need to be encouraged to keep on running the Christian life, if you're finding it hard, then fix your eyes on the example of Jesus. Remember that Jesus was fully human, and that he had all the same physical sensations and limitations that you and I have. He was tempted in every way, and yet he never sinned. He persevered. He endured to the very end of his race. He persevered in the face of exhaustion, in the face of temptation, and in the face of persecution. Let's think about each of those things. He persevered in the face of exhaustion. When you are exhausted, when you are completely and utterly shattered after a hard day or a hard week or a hard month of non-stop work, when you don't feel like praying because you're so exhausted, fix your eyes on Jesus. Remember that description of what was probably a fairly typical Lord's Day of ministry in the life of Jesus. Mark gives it in Mark chapter 1. It's Sabbath evening, and Jesus is weary after a long day of preaching and teaching and confronting and casting out demons. But there's no rest in store for him, because after sunset, the whole town brings their sick to Jesus' door, and he's healing and he's teaching until late in the night. And yet we're told in Mark 1, verse 35, that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went off by himself to a lonely place to pray. And it's not that he didn't get tired because he was the Son of God and he somehow just had endless physical reserves of strength and energy. No, this is a human man who was worn out, who was absolutely shattered. But he knew that he needed to get up and to pray on that particular day of all days. Whenever you're feeling so exhausted that you're starting to make all kinds of excuses for why you can't go to worship, or why you can't have family worship, or why you can't have your own quiet time, when you're making excuses for giving in to sin and bad temper or lust or anger because you're tired and because you're weary, fix your eyes on Jesus. When he was exhausted, he persevered. When he was tempted, he persevered. And when you're tempted, when you feel like giving in to temptation, when everything in you is urging you to give in to that temptation, when there's nobody around who knows you to see, or when your body or your mind is screaming out for the satisfaction that that particular sin promises, when the devil is saying to you and when the flesh is saying to you, go ahead and lose your temper. Get it off your chest. It'll make you feel so much better, and it'll put fear into that person so that they don't cross you again. Or when the devil or the flesh is telling you, you've got the perfect comeback, just exactly the right cutting, snide remark that will cut them down to size, and it will teach them not to treat you like that in the future. Or when the flesh and the devil is urging you to pass on that juicy piece of gossip because it'll make you the center of attention for a few minutes, and everybody will be coming to you and looking to you as the great source of information. When the flesh and the devil is urging you to go ahead and look at that website because it will give you such a rush of pleasure, whenever you're tempted, whatever the temptation might be, fix your eyes upon Jesus. You remember the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus has gone without food for almost 1.5 months. And the devil comes to Jesus and says, you're hungry. That's not good. That's not right. And that's not a problem, because if you're God's son, all you have to do is turn all these stones here into bread. You don't have to be hungry. You don't have to deny yourself. It's not good for you to deny yourself this pleasure. Do a miracle and feed yourself. It seems so reasonable. Must have seemed so attractive. The Lord's stomach was crying out for food. They're out in the desert. Nobody's going to see. Who's to know? But Jesus resists the temptation. Sin is still sin, no matter what the mitigating circumstances might be. Even if nobody else knows, the Lord knows, because his eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good. And Jesus is determined that he is going to honor his Father, and he perseveres. And he keeps on persevering, because the temptation doesn't go away, you remember. It's not that Jesus is just tempted these 3 times and never again the rest of his life. No, he's tempted over and over again in every way, as Hebrews tells us. And he never once gives in. And so the Lord Jesus knows far more about temptation than you and I will ever know, because we give in to temptation and it goes away. Jesus never once gave in to temptation, no matter how small, no matter how big. And so when you are tempted, fix your eyes upon Jesus. And when you're persecuted, when you're tempted to give up the Christian life because of persecution, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Remember the perseverance of Jesus. Maybe it's really hard for you to be a Christian in your school, in your university, in your workplace. You're surrounded all day long by coarse language and filthy jokes, and you're constantly on the end of insults and mockeries because everybody knows that you're a Christian. Maybe you're the only Christian in the whole place, and you feel isolated and vulnerable. And most days it's fine. Every day it's a battle, and you keep going. But some days, perhaps, you really just feel at the end of your tether. And you're tempted to say, perhaps if I just stopped being a Christian, life would be so much easier. Perhaps it's members of your own family who are not Christians. And they're not just indifferent, but they're actually hostile and antagonistic to you. They're always making fun of your faith. They're always getting in little digs because you're a Christian. They take delight in blaspheming in front of you. They scorn and they have nothing but contempt for these precious truths that you hold so dear. Fix your eyes on Jesus, because he knows all about persecution. He knows what it feels like, not just in his head, in the sense that he knows all things, but he knows what it feels like in his own experience to be the target of ruthless persecution, hatred, anger, contempt, snide remarks, cruel, cutting insinuation. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood and persecuted even by his own family. You remember that episode in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. Here is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He's going about doing good. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. He's healing. And what do his family say? He's out of his mind. Do your family think that you are a religious fanatic? A lunatic? That's what they thought about Jesus. His own family, his own brothers didn't believe that he was the Messiah. And yet he persevered. He never gave up. In spite of temptation, in spite of persecution, in spite of exhaustion. Jesus is the supreme example of perseverance. But the wonderful thing is that he's more than just an example. Some examples are too discouraging because they're so perfect. They're so high, they're so great that you couldn't even begin to think of imitating them. But Christ doesn't just set us an example for us to fix our eyes on. He gives us the power to run with that perseverance with which he ran the race. Hebrews 2:2 says that we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder of faith. Faith comes from him, but also the perfecter of faith. He will bring it to completion. He will make sure that we get to the end. Fix your eyes on Jesus. But then secondly, much more briefly, fix your heart on Christ's commendation. Fix your heart on Christ's commendation. It's hard, isn't it, to persevere in something, anything, if nobody knows how tough you're finding it. If nobody really understands your struggles. You can lose heart very quickly. If you're working and working and toiling at something with all your energy, you're at the very limits of your endurance, you really are seriously worried that you can't go another step, and nobody knows, nobody notices, nobody appreciates how hard this is for you. It's hard to keep going when nobody sees, nobody notices, nobody cares, nobody understands. And the flip side is true as well, isn't it? It's amazing how much it helps to get a word of encouragement. It's incredible how it fills us with strength just to know that somebody appreciates our effort and our strain. Just one little word of encouragement is all that it takes. One little text, one little card goes a long way. Well, in the Christian life, the Lord Jesus sees our work. Turn with me, please, to Revelation 2, verses 2 and 3. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Here are the words of the exalted Jesus to the church in Ephesus. And just look at what he says. Revelation 2, verses 2 and 3. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Other people may never appreciate what we do for God. Other people may never know what we do for God. In fact, other people might think that we're not doing very much of anything at all. They may even think that we're not doing anything for God, and the whole time we are running as hard as we possibly can. Other people may not know. Other people might not appreciate you. But Jesus knows. Jesus sees. Jesus appreciates all that you do. There's that beautiful little phrase that occurs again and again in the letters to the seven churches. Sometimes it's a terrifying thing, depending on the state of the churches. But here, it's an encouraging thing. I know. I know. Jesus knows exactly what your circumstances are. What does he say? I know your deeds. He says to another church, I know where you live. I know what life is like for you, day in, day out. I know where you go to work. I know where you go to school. I know what life is like for you in your home. Nobody else sees that. Nobody else knows what you have to go through. Nobody else hears those words that are spoken to you. Nobody else hears the tone of voice in which those words are spoken to you. Nobody else understands. Nobody else would guess. But I know. I know where you live. I know your affliction. I know what you have to put up with on a daily basis. I know the hurt that's being done to you every single day, many, many times every single day. I know your perseverance, your patient endurance. I know you're bearing up for my name's sake. I know that you would have given up years ago if it were just some human thing that you were doing. But I know that you're doing this for me. I know that's why you keep going. Jesus sees. There are times that we don't feel like going to church. There are many times we don't feel like going to the prayer meeting. But we go to church and we go to the prayer meeting for his name's sake, because that's what we know the Lord Jesus wants us to do. And he sees, and he appreciates it. There are times we don't want to pray. There are times we don't want to read the Bible. We just want to sit down in front of the television. We want to get out our favorite novel and carry on reading. There are times we don't want to obey. We want to give in to temptation. And we force ourselves to obey God's word, to deny ourselves. And it's painful. But we do it because that's what the Lord wants of us. We don't want to invite people to come to church. We don't want to tell people the gospel because they might not like us very much after we share the gospel. They might get angry with us if they hear what we believe, if we try to tell them that they're a sinner who's bound for hell and that their only hope is not within themselves or anything that they can do, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to do that. We don't want to risk losing face in front of people. But we know that that's what the Lord Jesus calls us to do. And when we do it, and we stumble over our words, and we get really nervous, and we're gulping, and we're blushing, and we're making a hash of it, we think Jesus sees, and Jesus knows, and Jesus appreciates what we're doing. When you keep on forgiving people who hurt you, when you keep on trying to love difficult people who are cranky and stubborn and ungrateful for all that you do for them, when you keep on caring for that teething baby or for someone who's ill and it means broken nights and long days, when you keep on trusting the Lord Jesus in times of affliction, when you keep on praying for your unconverted friends and family, Jesus sees all these things. I know your deeds. I know where you live. I know your affliction. I know your patient endurance. If he sees the cup of cold water, a cup of cold water, what could be more ordinary than a cup of cold water? But if Jesus sees that, and if he appreciates that when we give it for his sake, how much more all these other things? The Lord Jesus sees it all, every second of your life. And friends, whenever you feel like quitting, remember that. And imagine hearing his words of commendation. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well, I don't think realistically there's time for us to look at the third encouragement, which is fix your mind on the invisible. Colossians 3 verse 2, set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. We're called not to look at this world, not to be caught up with the things of this world that we can see, but to keep focusing on what is invisible, the things that are spiritual, the things that matter most. If we take our gaze off the things that are above, and if we get caught up with the things that are visible of this world, then it will be very, very hard for us to persevere in the Christian life, because so much of the Christian life is about what is invisible, what is spiritual, what we can't see. But perhaps we'll come back to that another time. Well, here are three things then, well, two and a bit things, I suppose, to help us to keep on keeping on in 2018. Fix your eyes on Jesus and fix your heart on his commendation and fix your thoughts on what is invisible. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us by your Spirit more and more this year to fix our eyes upon Jesus, to fix our heart upon his commendation of all that we seek to do for him and in his name, and that you will help us to fix our minds on what is invisible, what is spiritual, and not on the things of this world. We pray that as we do these things, that you will fill us with new strength and energy so that we might run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.